parsha is Parshas Kisaitza, page Atzko, page 1046. And before we start this parsha talks about war, that if you go out to war, I'll read the first pasuk. Says Kisaitza la milchama aloi vecho, when you'll go out to war, aloi vecho on your enemies, when you go out, it's important language here, when you go out, unesonoi Hashem elekecho v'yadecho, and Hashem will deliver them, or deliver him, Nesanoi, deliver him, your death on your hand, the Shaviso Shivio, you capture its captivity, and the Riso Bashivio, you'll see in the, among the captivity, Ashes Yefastoa, a woman of beautiful form, a beautiful woman, the Choshak Tabo, you will desire her, so from here Talmud learns, that even though the woman is not so beautiful, but the fact that you desire her, that automatically makes it, allows you to do it. Lekach v'chol ha'isha, you could take her for you for a wife. Or you should take her for you for a wife. If you desire her, then you should take her for a wife. So basically this is a continuation. If you take a look, this is a continuation of the stories before on page 1038, last week's parsha. We talk about Kisaitza Milchama Levecho. We also have there that you go to war against your enemies and you should not fear them. And there we have also the three announcements that the Kohanim do. That the Kohanim make three announcements first. They make the first announcement, which is not the Kohanim. The Kohen Moshiach goes out and the Shoitrim, the officers make the announcement. They say whoever has a house and has not inaugurated it, should go back from the war. We're not going to explain exactly why these things. And somebody who has a vineyard and did not inaugurate, did not reap from his fruit yet, did not redeem it yet, also should go back to the war because lest he die in the war and somebody else take it. Page 1040, pasuk number 6. And the third question they ask is anybody who has a woman that he has engaged, he has not married her yet, let him also go back from the war, lest other person, he die, another person marry her. So these three people were disqualified from the draft. In other words, the idea was that when you draft everybody, and then these people that didn't qualify to stay, were sent back, and then all of a sudden there was a third question. Says Vayosef Shoitrim, the police, that pasuk number 8, last week's parsha, that the witness said, Miurish Ayore, anybody who is fearful, Varach Alevov, has soft hearted, Yelech Vayosef Lebeisoy, then go back to his house, Volima says Vav Echov Tilvavoy, and should not dishearten, should not melt the heart of other people like his heart. In other words, the simple interpretation is somebody who is a fear of blood. Somebody is a quack, somewhat cowardly. So let him go back let him go back and not dishearten other people. The Gemara brings down, Rabbi Yosef Glili brings down, that according to Rabbi Yosef Glili, that Yoreb Rach Levav is Yoreb Mipnei Avir Shabiyodo, that he is fearful not because of anything, because he is fearful because of sins that he has in his hands. And the Talmud brings down that even if he spoke, he made a minor sin, he spoke between Tfilin Shliyat Sharosh, even that minor sin, that could be cause enough that he should die. If somebody has a sin like that, he should exempt himself to go from the draft, to go back from the draft. And the reason they made this announcement last is that if people are going to see him go back, they're not going to think he's going back because of his sins. They'll think that it may be other reasons, they didn't want to embarrass him, but all these people went back. So it's just an interesting point that according to this, anybody who went to war, only were tzaddikim. That if anybody who had fearful that he had a sin, and he committed a sin, they would send them out of the draft. So it comes out that only Rav Moshe Feinstein or the Vilna Gaon, those are the people that actually went to war. And there was a comment that said that yes, and they also won. So anyways, but we'll see soon that we have a little problem according to this week's parsha. We're going to have a little different difficulty. But after this, we have another parsha talking about wars, as if you go to war, then you first have to try to make peace. This is war reshus, not a war of conquest, because it says on Pasuk, page 1040, Pasuk number 16, Rak meore wami moela, but from these nations, Asher Hashem alekecho, nois lecho nachlo, that Hashem is giving you inheritance. Basically, the people that were in the land of Israel during the conquest, during the time of Yeshua, those people, lo yisachai kol neshama, we cannot take captives, we cannot ask for peace, we have requirement to conquer it, and we're not allowed any person living. So the Torah actually gives the reason for it, the Torah brings Pasuk number 18, the reason for it, Laman asher yilmadu eschem lasois, so they shouldn't teach you to do kechol tavois, or the abomination, asher asher Elohim, that they do to their God, v'chatos l'ashem alekechem, and if you do that, you'll be sinning to your God. In other words, the Torah is clearly telling you, if you're going to the land, the seven nations that comprise the land of Israel during the conquest, from those people, you're not allowed to leave anybody alive. You're supposed to not make overtures for peace. You're supposed to just kill them completely. And it's not for us, even though technically for us, it seems to be not morally right, but the Torah writes down that the people are so corrupt, and if you left them alive, they would never be able to mend their ways. So therefore, don't give them a chance. Just if they decide to stay, you have to kill them. According to most interpretations, if they want to run away, it's okay for them to run away. But if they stay in Israel, you have no choice. You have to kill them. You can't take them as slaves, and you have no choice. Also, you could also explain that since the people that live there, they may eventually rebel against you because of patriotic sentiments. So even though the Torah doesn't mention it, but it's a very easy thing to understand that the patriotic fervor could stay with them. So therefore, the only choice that you have is actually kill them. And I'm not saying that has to do anything with the situation of Palestinians nowadays, but nonetheless, the Torah has a clear commandment to kill them. And consequently, because of this, when the Pasuk is telling us this week's parsha, he says, when you go out to war and you could take a captive woman and you see a beautiful woman and you take its captivity, you see a beautiful woman, you desire, you could take it for your wife. So automatically this cannot mean those seven nations, the war of conquest, because or conquest says as a chayi kol neshama. And that's what Rashi says clearly, and that's the first Rashi of this week's parsha. But going back, afterwards we have the story that we should not destroy the trees around the city. That if you're going to conquer something, you lay a siege, don't destroy the fruit trees, because fruit trees are made to eat. And all of a sudden, in the middle of this war stories, there's a story about the Egel Arufa, that if you find a body, a human body dead, a Jewish body dead, and you don't know where it's from, all of a sudden it's written there that you have to hope the siege to do, you don't know who killed it, all the elders of the city have to come out, and they have to take a calf and chop off the calf, and symbolically that saying that we did not cause the death of this, they have a confession to say that we didn't cause the death of this human being. So they explain that the reason that sandwiched between the wars is that normally at war people are very sadistic and there's a lot of blood going on. So don't think that blood becomes cheap. So therefore the Torah writes down right sandwich between those, he puts in right before our parsha. Right after Egel Arufa, our parsha, and this week's parsha comes after Egel Arufa, after the heifer that's chopped, that's called Egel Arufa, the ex heifer, that's how Rabbi Askel translates. So right after that, it's written in this week's parsha, so the sandwich between, so for you to know that even though you are at war and there's war going on, and war usually, one body doesn't mean anything, so he's telling you, yes, a human body is very important. You have to go through the whole procedure, and you have to make sure that you vouch for everybody and take care of every person, that you fed them, that you make sure that you accompany them. All these things have to be done. And the last week's parsha by the Egel Arufa says, that's how it finishes. You should remove the innocent blood from amongst you. When you do Kisasa Yosher Bein Hashem, when you do a Yosher, the right thing Bein Hashem, and right and next to it is written, the sixth parasha, Kisei Tzila Milchom Alavecha, when you go out against your enemies. So we have to understand the connection. So he says that one connection is brought down by the Mircha Belula. Sefer Mircha Belula being the connection. He says that Kisasa Yosha Bein Hashem, if you do the right thing in the eyes of God, then Kisei Tzila Milchom Alavecha, if you go out at war against your enemies, then Hashem will give him your hands. But if you don't do the right thing, then Hashem will not give him in your hands. That interpretation brings down, like we just mentioned, that whoever goes to war is only tzaddikim. So he says, Kisasa Yosher Bein Hashem, that if you do the right thing Bein Hashem, which normally the right thing, or the upright thing, by the way, the Mabon brings down that a Yosher is even greater than a tzaddik. A tzaddik is somebody that has to bend his will to do righteousness, but Yosher is somebody straight. He's always straight. And the Mabon actually says on Tehillim that the Yosher is actually greater than a tzaddik. So Kisasa Yosher Bein Hashem, you do the right thing, the upright thing in the eyes of God. And so if you do that thing, so usually that means that righteous people. So righteous people, Kisei Tzila Milchom Avecha, because only righteous people go out to war. And that's according to the Baal Turim, that's the connection between these two things. Baal Turim brings another interesting thing, the Talmud Turim brings down, that they did not allow any enemies to go to war, because you shouldn't use excuse if you're able to kill your enemy, and, you know, Jewish enemy, your enemy, and say that that he died at the war. So therefore, he says the whole thing that we didn't spill this blood, we didn't have any animosity against this person who died, and then you could go to war. But you can't put two people that hate each other to war, because one may kill the other. So that's the connection. He brings down Kisasa Yosha Bein Hashem, Kisei Tzila Milchoma. That's how he brings down the Baal Turim brings down. But anyways, there's a very tough question in this week's parsha, because the tough question there is that according to whatever we just said, whoever goes to war is only tzaddikim. And Rashi writes down, Gemara brings down Kedushin Daf Chof Alef, Gemara brings down, L'dibre Torah Elo Keneged Yotzer Hara. That this whole parsha of captive woman is only said against the Yetzer Hara. The Torah realizes that doing war, since the blood is flowing and blood incites people's passion, so a person may come to rape a woman on the field. So therefore, the Torah is telling you this whole idea that if you desire a woman, you may take it for you for a wife. It is a very important machlokes between Rashi, Tosfos, and the Rambam. Rashi and Tosfos in the Rambam. Now the Rashi is in one side, and Tosfos in the Rambam, Maimonides, is in the other side. So Rashi says that you cannot do any, in other words, if you are in the field, all of a sudden desire a woman, you may not have one relationship with her, no relationship with her until you do the whole procedure that is mentioned there, that she sits in your house, in front of your house, it removes her beautiful clothing, Pasuk number 13, that you bring her to a house, you shave her head, the girl has roisha, you shave her head, vasa tiporneo, you make her nails, vasira eshimno shivya moleo, you take her clothing, her captive clothing from on top of her. So they bring down that the women used to come with nice clothing so as to distract the people at war, or to make sure that the people that are fighting, their husbands and the brothers, are fighting fervently, because they will see their sisters and their wives next to it, so they will fight till the end. So there's two different reasons they would come with nice clothing. One is to incite the other army to sin. So that in other words, they will keep the attention will be diverted by the beautiful women. So therefore they won't concentrate so much in the war. And the other one is to give incentive for the husbands or their fathers or their brothers to be able to fight till the end, because otherwise the woman is going to be taken. So therefore they would dress nice. But you would have to take out the dress. And Ve'yashav Be'Sechon, she will sit in your house. Ve'achsa Savia Ve'simo Yerach Yomim. And she had to cry her father and mother a month. Yerach Yomim is brought down. The word Yerach is only written. Normally you write the word Chodesh. Chodesh by Jews is called Chodesh because Chodesh means renewal. Chadash. Chodesh comes from renewal, that the moon always renews itself. And that brings that no matter how a Jew falls, he always comes back. Because it could be renewed itself. But for other nations, we say Yerach, or by a get also, since gets are not a very nice document, we're not renewing it, we're closing a chapter. So by a get, you also write down the Yerach for a month. Yerach is a month, but that's why here it's written Yerach, because we actually don't want her to, we'll see from the connections that we actually don't want her to convert. This is the only case, by the way, that somebody could be converted forcibly. That even if she didn't desire to convert, but after you do the procedure, you see that she still desires, she's automatically converted, and she has to keep all the mitzvahs, even though she didn't accept it out of her free will. And he says that if you don't want desire at that time, then you send her away, and she'll go to herself. So here, according to Rashi's interpretation, go back. Rashi says that you could only take her, only have the first relationship only after she did the whole procedure. That Chas v'Shalom, the Torah did not allow you to have a relationship with her on the field or anywhere else. Only after you do the whole procedure, after you convert her forcibly even, then you could do the whole thing. So why does the Torah say that the Torah cannot get Sahara? It's because normally the Torah would not allow you to convert somebody forcibly. But the Torah allows you to do this thing, according to this interpretation, only because of your Yetzer Hara. Another interpretation they give is that Ledibet Torah Yetzer Hara, because we'll see soon, that Tosfos actually asks a very good question. Tosfos has two questions. Tosfos asks a question that if that is true, what does it mean? How good? What good is it? What good is it to give a Torah to negate its Sahara? What good is it going to do that? We know that we're talking about a person who is at war. All of a sudden, he's lasting because of the war. He's lasting, and therefore, the Torah allows me to take this captive woman. How good is it going to be to tell him? You know what? Wait a month, and then you could have a relationship with her. So the truth is that this question of Tosfos is very easily answered, because we could say the Gemara brings down that two people are walking, and they are walking in the desert, and they both ate a meal at the same time. So the Gemara brings down that the person who actually has bread in his pocket is less hungry than the person who doesn't have food and drink in his pocket, even though they both ate at the same time, and technically they should both be hungry the same thing. But the fact that you know any time you want, you could eat, or any time it's going to be available to you in the right way, then you are willing to wait. So the same thing they explain here. And by the way, that's the same idea that we allow to live with our wives, even though they are needers. And we will have to stay in the same house, because we know that since eventually we could have her later, beheter, we could have her later according to the Jewish law. We could have a relationship with her after 12 days or whatever time it takes. Then our Yetzer Hara doesn't burn us so much that we don't last so much. So the same idea that since you know that this woman, eventually you will be able to have her, so automatically that itself will quench your Yetzer Hara. That's one question that is answered that way. But the other question is a little more complicated. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Chof Aleph brings down that the famous story that Tamar was Amnon's and Avshalom's sister. So Tamar was Avshalom's full sister, and in other words, from father and mother, we'll see soon. But she was Amnon's sister only from father. We'll see soon what I mean. And it says that Tamar was, that the Gemara brings down the Chofal of Madalev on Sanhedrin, and brings down that Tamar was the daughter of a captive wife. In other words, he was a daughter of a king, that King David went and conquered, and Tamar was a daughter of Yifastor. Shenema is written Vata Daberno al Melech, because Amnon, the story goes that Amnon, that's in Shmuel, I think 15, or Shmuel Beis, he says that, Shmuel Beis 13, and it says that Amnon all of a sudden realized that Tamar is very beautiful, and he got sick of desiring her to relationship. So he has a friend. A friend convinced him to make a whole spiel and to cook for him, and that act like you are sick, and David will send her to cook for you. So she comes to cook for him, and all of a sudden he tries to have a relationship with her, and she says, "Why are you having a relationship with me? You know that go talk to my father, and he will not," says the Pasuk brings down, "why you don't have to rape me, you don't have to do anything forcibly, that go talk to the king, and for sure he'll give you in marriage to me." So the Gemara says, if you say that she's a full-fledged sister, that she could marry her, how can you marry a sister? So how can she tell Amnon that she should ask for a hand to David? How can David give her hand to marriage on a sister? That from there you learn that she is a pastor. So Toys has a question. So how is it possible that she shouldn't be a sister? So therefore, must be, like the Rambam says actually, Rambam says that David had a relationship with Tamar's mother on the field, and she wasn't a Jew yet, and after that must be that Biyah Rishoyna is allowed on the field, not like Rashi says that you could have a relationship on the field, and therefore she became pregnant. So she was not yet a Jewish woman, so therefore the child is not considered the sister of Absalom and Amnon, even though the mother is the same, the father is the same, but the fact that she was not Jewish when she had a relationship, therefore it's not considered sister. So therefore now she's considered, she converted, therefore she could marry Amnon. So that gives proof, according to that, so that's the question. How can you actually say that you can't have a relationship with a captive woman? If that is true, then how can you say that David was going to give it to a sister? Must be. So therefore, it's impossible. So Tosfos actually brings another answer. Tosfos says that we could answer Rashi by saying that when Amnon married the mother of Absalom, she was already pregnant with Tamar. So therefore, not because of Yefastora you could have a relationship. No, she was a pregnant woman. He married a pregnant woman. So therefore, it's not considered a sister legally. It's not considered halachically. She's not considered a sister. So we have to say that this is the reason. So that's what Rashi, according to Rashi, there's the one answer they give is that she was already married by the time, and she was pregnant. In other words, she was pregnant at the time that David took her. She was a pastor. Therefore, there's no relationship since that time she wasn't considered Jewish. And the relationship follows the mother. We know by Jewishness follows the mother. At that time she wasn't Jewish, therefore there's no relationship, therefore brother and sister could halachically even marry. And the other interpretation they give is that if you tell them that you are so sick, that's pikuach nefesh, maybe that was a way that she was trying to convince him that maybe she will allow you to do it. So So the question is that according to Rashi, I mean, it's a very tough answer, that why does the Gemara say a pastor? Maybe she wasn't a pastor. Maybe she was just a daughter of somebody who that he married while she was pregnant. So I don't know the answer, but the Gemara, according to the other interpretations, that makes more sense. According to the Rambam, Rambam actually says that she came from Bia Rishonah, she came from the first relationship, and the children came afterwards, after she converted, therefore she could marry completely and do it. But according to the Rambam, it's crazy, and another interpretation, the problem is that in Pasuk 12 says, the Kach Tachole, you should take it for a wife, and then Ve'vesotach Be'secho, she'll bring it to your house. So therefore, the Ramban, Nachmanides, explains that it's not a real problem, that it means to say that you should not have the relationship in the fields, openly, even though we talk again Yetzer Hara, and we're allowed to do a lot of different things, we're allowed to do an exception because we know that if you prohibit you, that you're eventually going to do it anyways, but nonetheless, we don't want you to do it openly in the field because it's kind of a chutzpah. We would like you to do it inside the house. So that's what Vesu Tevesecho means to say you should bring it to a house, not necessarily your house, but you should, if you make Bia Rishon, you should bring it to the house. The Meshech Chachma also brings down that one of the conditions of this is that in Son Hashem Akecho Be'adecho, that you could only take a captive woman if you have a complete victory. If you only have a temporary victory, don't think that, in other words, if you take a captor and they take other captors, then it's not that the law of captive woman doesn't apply, because they may be upset that you took a captive woman and that you had a relationship with a captive woman and therefore kill one of your captives. So therefore the Meshech Chachma brings down that on the Son Hashem Akecho Be'adecho, the fact that Hashem gives you in your hand is a very important idea that has to be complete victory. The Rambam also says that when you have the relationship with her, even though we say that Libertura can get Sahara, that don't think you could just have relationships if anybody you find. No. When you have relationship with her, you have to have in mind that you want to marry her. Even though eventually she becomes, if you follow the whole procedure and you don't like her anymore, you're not required to marry her. But your intention when you take her has to be only if you marry her. And then, if she does the whole thing, she follows the procedure, then you could marry her. Nachmanides has a doubt what happens if she decides that she wants to convert. In other words, he says that you have to wait 30 days. What happens if she decides that she wants to convert? So Nachmanides first says that if she converts, you take her, you don't have to follow the procedure. But then he has a little doubt. He says maybe that you have to follow the procedure because every woman could say that she wants to convert out of fear. She doesn't want to cut her hair. She doesn't want to make her nails. So she'll say, it's just out of fear that she wants to convert. So therefore, it could be that if you want to take a captive woman, no matter what happens, you have to follow that procedure, regardless if she says that she's willing to convert, because we assume that she only wants to convert out of fear. But the question that we ask is a very good question. We ask a question, how is it possible that righteous people, only righteous people, it says that only righteous people go to war. And how is it possible that righteous people, the whole thing says, the Gemara brings down, that the whole parsha is talking only about the only, according for to quench your Yetzer Hara. How is it possible that if you are so righteous, that the Torah, that you're going to fall to Yetzer Hara? So the simple answer is that yes, Hashem always puts crossroads in our lives, that we should have a bechira, that no matter how holy you are, Hashem will always put certain crossroads, certain tests to you, and that will be the test. So maybe because of this holiness, because Yetzer Hara is gonna, since you are such a holy, and all of a sudden people know that you're holy, Hashem will put this test to you, and therefore you should know that Hashem, that even though you are so holy, you'll fall for the test. The other answer is that let's just analyze it. When somebody makes the announcement, you know, anybody who has a sin, please leave. So who would remain in such a case? Who will stay, say, who will remain? Obviously the righteous people, the Moshe Feinstein, or the Gerer Rebbe, or the Wiener, or the Vilna Gaon, they are not such a haughty people. They probably think that they committed sins. So they will be probably the first ones to leave. So who remains there? It remains there that somebody who thinks he doesn't have any sins, somebody who is haughty, who thinks he doesn't have any sins, that you should know that somebody like that is for sure going to fall by Yifas Torah. So therefore, it'd be better to get Sahara. Again, when I make announcements, everybody to leave, everybody has sins to leave, I could almost guarantee that the righteous people, that they are the first ones to leave. Why? Because even though they didn't have any sins, but eventually everybody has sins. So it could be that he did eat tshuva. But the level you go up every day, the Or HaChaim here is a very beautiful Or HaChaim. It's a famous Or HaChaim. The Or HaChaim actually gives a nice interpretation. He says that since only righteous people go to war, so obviously if you find attraction to this woman, must be you found attraction not because of her body, must be because of the soul that she has. And in Or HaChaim starts with introduction. He says that the Mauritian sinned with the apple, esrik, or the fruit, whatever fruit that was. When he sinned, sparks of his body left his body, and sparks went into all the nations of the world. And therefore he says, you see that the sparks that are bagating by converts, when the sparks that converts have, is usually stronger, a lot of times stronger than sparks that normal people have. And he brings example, Ruth, Amavia, David's great-grandmother, Shmaya, Vaftalion, that they were the leaders of the Bezin, the converts, the leader of the Bezin. And you could go further, you could go Unklus Ager, Targum Unklus that we have, comes from Unklus, the soul that he has. And Gemara says Rabbi Akiva comes from Gerim, Rav Meir came from Gerim. So you see that Gerim holds a very big spark. And he says that the way that Gerim become connected to the people is when they see Jews and they see the holiness, righteous people, and they see the holiness of the Neshama, so they all of a sudden their soul becomes cleaved to the other soul. They decide they have to cleave to that soul. So if you find an attraction, if you are a righteous person, you're such a righteous person, you find an attraction in a war, so it must be that one of these souls that are from the Gerim are trying to cleave to you. And he brings down that in Shechem, that if you take a look back in Shechem, the story of Shechem on Parshas Vayishlach, that Shechem, the rape of Dinah, there it's written, the language is very, it's very interesting. It's written by that Shechem saw that Tidbak Nafshoi B'Dinah, that his soul became connected to Dinah, Vayev as an Ara, he loved her, and then says he desired her. But the first language is that his soul became connected to Dinah. It doesn't say his body. He found her attractive, and if he liked it. It says that because of the spark that Dinah had, the holiness of Dinah's neshama, that the Gemara brings down, that Yaakov was punished by Shechem because Yaakov didn't want to give Dinah to Esav. In other words, Yaakov should give Dinah to Esav, that her neshama was so holy that she could have even changed somebody like an Esav. So all of a sudden, Shechem, that has one of the sparks of the Mauritian, he sees Dinah, and all of a sudden his soul becomes connected to her, and he has no choice, and he all decides that he has to have her no matter what. So therefore, he rapes her. And if you take a look out of this rape of Dinah, comes out two tribes. Osnas is born, and according to the Yalkut Shimon, according to the Medesh Rabbah, Yosef married Osnas, and he has Menashe and Ephraim. So he became connected to the issue of the way at first to convert to a Jew. And as a matter of fact, if you see that Shechem eventually dies as a Jew, because he has a bris milah. But he should have done first converted and then married her, but he just worked the opposite way because he couldn't take her because of her soul was such a holiness of her soul. It's brought down by the Shem Yishmul that if you take a look, Baruch Shem Kevoit Malchus Elonam Voet, that the initials of Baruch that we say to Shema, that Baruch Shem Kevoit Malchus is Bishchem, that in Shechem was one of the 36 sparks of Adam HaRishon. And they explained 36 sparks to the sparks of the sun. The sun was diminished, and the sun, the first day, according to the Zohar, it's not written by Yerubai Yom HaShabbos, that the sun did not want to set. He said, Vayerubai Yom HaShishi. And the sun, knowing that after the Chet, he'll be diminished of strength, he didn't want to set, so the sun was out 12 hours of Friday and 24 hours of Shabbos. Therefore, we see that when it came the night, Motze Shabbos, we light the Abdullah candles, because Adam HaRishon got scared, and Hashem made them the stones to spark, show them how to bring out light. That's one of the reasons we make Borei Merawaish. So the question is, why don't we make Borei Merawaish on Friday night? Friday night was supposed to be dark too. So the answer is, according to the Zohar, the sun didn't set, so there was always light during Shabbos. The first Shabbos, it was completely lit. There was no night that day. So it comes out that the sun was burning for 36 hours, 12 on Friday, 24. So the sparks, 36 sparks, could be, that's why the Lamad Vav Tzadikim, that they carry the sparks. So therefore, there's 36 sparks, according to the Zohar, that went all over. And Shechem had one of the 36 sparks that had to go back to its source. So if you see a woman in this captivity, and you're such a holy man, that you don't make any minor sins, so must be that you see the spark in her. So therefore, you should bring her to your house, and make her ugly, and make sure that she takes off her beautiful clothing, and make sure that she shaves her head, so you will know that the only reason you love her is because of, the only reason you're attracted to her is because of the sparks that's in her body. But after this, you see that you don't desire anymore, then you will know that you only desire for her body, for her physicality, not for her neshama, not for her spirituality. So then, v'yishlach hanafshi, should send her to herself. So when the Torah means to say, that the whole parsha of captive woman is according to Yetzer Hara, according to this, comes out that the Torah is telling you to do the whole test only because of Yetzer Hara. Because normally you would assume that if you find somebody attractive and you are such a holy man, that you only are attracted through her soul. Therefore, we have to have this procedure to make sure that the whole procedure is done connected to Yetzer Hara. But that is not the normal interpretation. Normal interpretation is a little bit differently. It's like we mentioned before, that since you are lusting so much, the Torah allows you to do it. And not only that, we'll see later that there is certain smichas like this. According to the Rachaim, though, the second chapter of this says that you have two women. One is love and one is hated. So I find this thing, normally we mean to say that this woman, normally the interpretation is, you should know that this woman that you brought from war, since she comes from not great beginnings and you forced her to convert, you should know that eventually you will hate her and she'll have the firstborn. We'll see soon another interpretation of firstborn, what means according to Vilna Gaon, is a very interesting interpretation. But she'll have a firstborn, you should have to recognize the firstborn. So I saw another interpretation that according to the Sora Chaim says that if you still marry her, that must be that she has a very potent soul, that she has a very holy soul. So therefore, she is going to be the loved one and the original wife is going to be the hated one. Not the way we normally understand that the loved one is going to be the Jewish wife and this forcibly converted is going to be the hated wife. No, according to the Chaim, I saw interesting interpretation is a little differently. Because it doesn't mention which wife is which. So according to Chaim, is the wife that converts now, she's going to be the loved one because of her actions. Because her actions are going to be so great that she's going to be the loved one. And the other one is going to be the hated one. And that will be based on the two interpretations that says, the Gemara says that Koshem Gedon Yisrael, Kesapachas, that converts are bad for Jews, like Sapachas, like leprosy. Leprosy. So there are two different interpretations. Leprosy, ksapachas, is a white spot on a body. That's the way we call it. A leprosy, it's a nega. It's like a leprosy, but the symptom is that it's a white spot on your body. So they explain two different interpretations. One that's going to be like a plague, like a disease, that since when they convert, they don't know how to keep the Torah very well. So obviously they're going to keep the Torah halfway, and that will cause in the in the heavenly sky is the balance of good and evil, to have more sins brought down to Jewish people, or that since she comes from a different culture, you will come to pick up on her culture and you will come to emulate her, so therefore that's bad to have converts. Or the correct interpretation is no, that since converts keep Torah so meticulously and they keep Torah so stuff, so there will be a white spot on you. So you will have to act like that white spot. That since she becomes so holy, then there will be a criticism in heavens to you. How come they convert, they keep so much Torah, they keep so much great things, and they keep Torah so meticulously? How come you know the tradition, you come from Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, how come you don't keep it, that tradition? So that's the same thing you could say here, that this will be the interpretation of Ahuva Snua, who is the Ahuva, and who is the Snua, is going to be based on these two interpretations. That according to Rechaim, that she's such a holy neshama, that she's going to be the Ahuva, that she's going to be the loved one. According to most interpretations, that since she's forcibly converted, she's going to be the Snua, she's going to be the hated one. But the first pasuk again says, "Kiseitzila melchama levecha," when you go out to war on your enemies, "Unesanoi," Hashem will give him. So everybody asks a question. It's written first on your enemies in the plural, and then "Unesanoi," and Hashem will give him in the singular. So Rabbeinu Bachya gives a simple answer. Rabbeinu Bachya says that it's talking about the star, and everything has a ministering angel in heaven. So you should know, if you go to war against your enemies, Hashem will give you the ministering angel in your hand. When the son is talking about the ministering angel. No interpretation is that since it says, "Ki seitzla milchama levecha," that if you go, seitzla is in singular, you go out to war against your enemies. So since it's in the singular, that means that you are, that all the Jews are connected. And all the Jews are baguda achas. They're in one group. One group. They all like considered like one person. Then even if you have multiple enemies, Hashem will act like it's on a sonoy, like it's only one enemy. Like in the singular, Hashem will give him in your hand. That Hashem will make it easy, like you're going against one person. And if you act unified, Hashem will give you the war, and you will win. Other interpretation, but the Shlah is brought down from the Shleiluch HaSabris, the Shlah Kodesh is brought down, that it's talking about Kiseitzeh Milchama Levecha, it's talking about Milchama Zayetzeh. The Gemara brings down the Abolet Tyre, the Sinai, says somebody is coming to cleanse himself, we help him out to be cleansed. So they bring down that's what it means to say, Kiseitzeh Milchama Levecha, if you're going to go out to war against your enemies, in other words, you have to go out to war. Not the war comes to you. In other words, there's two ways to do. The one way is if the enemies come to you, that you already have your Yetzirah in you. But no, he says, if you go out to war against your enemy, the enemy is always the Yetzirah. Then you should know, if you decide to go to war against your enemy, then Hashem will give him your hand. There's a saying that if you open up you do tshuva like the head of a needle, Hashem will make it like open up a door like an elephant to pass through. So he's telling you that if you just start to go out to war, then you'll have Siyat Lishmaya, Hashem will help you, and Hashem will give him your hand. But you should know, you should capture its captivity. Don't think that if you go to war, that you destroy the Yetzirah completely. No, you have to learn from the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah has something for you to learn. You have to learn from the Yetzirah how to act and how to, without enthusiasm, the Yetzirah makes you do things. And ambition, you have to learn from the Yetzirah. There are a lot of good things that you have to learn from the Yetzirah, so you should capture its captivity. Don't do away the Yetzirah completely, because a lot of times when you're going to a soccer game, before you go to a soccer game, the enthusiasm that you have before you go to a soccer game, you get up in the morning going to a fishing trip, or you're going to a camp, you get up in the morning early, you have no problem. So the same enthusiasm you have to have when you come up to Minyan and come every morning to go to Minyan, you have to go in the same enthusiasm and the same ambition that you have to go and make money and go up and get raises. So the same ambition you have to have when you go to learn Torah, and to be able to grow in Torah all the way. The second parsha is interesting. From the second parsha of this week, which is talking about the two women, that one is that they're going to have children, the loved one and the hated one. So the Vilna Gaon has a very interesting comment on this. He says, if you take a look, the pasuk says, they'll have children, the loved one and the hated one. And the hated one is going to be the bechor. So he says, if the hated one is going to be bechor, she'll have written, she'll have children, the hated one and the loved one. Because it seems to be like the order of birth is differently. So the Vilna Gaon says it's talking about a case where somebody has a child from the hated one is going to become pregnant first, and she's going to have a child of 9 months, and the loved one is going to have a child of 7 months. But she's going to be conceived later. So the Vilna Gaon is a very interesting. The Vilna Gaon, Aderes Eliyahu, brings down that this is the case. In other words, two wives. One gets pregnant first, but delivers the baby later. That's the hated one. And the loved one gets pregnant later, but delivers the baby 7 months, delivers the baby earlier. So you should know, the Vilna Gaon says, the Bechor is going to be lasnua. In other words, that's what it means. They're going to have two children. That the first child is going to be from the loved one. And the second child is going to be from the hated one. But you should know, the Ben Bechor, we don't go after the baby that comes out. We go after the baby that was conceived, which is a very interesting concept. And he says, and he, if you take a look, the pasuk continues. It makes good sense because it says, "Kes ben abachor ben asno yakir." The pasuk number 17 says, "The bachor of the hated one, you should recognize to give him bashi masaloi ki hu reishis oinoi." He says because he is his initial vigor. Why you have to write down his initial vigor? What does God to do? Ki hu reishis, so write down. He's the first one that came out. So from here we learn that even though the Vilna Gaon makes good, because the Torah writes down Ki Reishis Oinoi is the first vigor, that means he was conceived first. That he's his first vigor, like it says by Reuven. Reuven Ato Reishis, you are my first vigor. So the Talmud writes down that he didn't see any carry, he didn't see any semen before that. So from the language it says Ki Reishis Oinoi. That comes out very good according to Vilna Gaon, that it's emphasizing that even though the Ben Ahuva came out first, but since he was conceived, and we go after Reishis Oinoi, after his first conceivement, so therefore the Bechor Ben Asnua, the hated one, is considered a Bechor. They ask a question, the Baal Torah brings a question here. I'm sorry, does a Kenyan Baal Torah brings a question here, and the Sephron also brings a question. That we know that Yaakov did not transgress. Yaakov transgressed this commandment. Says he lo yochel levaker as ben ahuva ben asnua. He cannot make the bechor, the loved one, on the hated one bechor. We know that Leah, the Torah describes Leah the hated one, and Reuven was the bechor of the hated one, and Reuven lost the bechora. So he says that it seems to be that Yaakov Avinu transgressed this commandment. Lo yochel levaker, he cannot make a bechor. So the answer that no, he did not transgress, because it says here that he cannot do it for no reason at all. In other words, if the reason is only because one is loved and one is hated, you cannot evacuate. But if all of a sudden the Bechor, Reuven, decides to do something bad, then you could be evacuated. So that's the answer. The answer that normally you can't be evacuated, because if you didn't do anything bad by himself, just the fact that the mother was hated or loved one, that is not reason enough to change the firstborn right. But if the firstborn does something bad, then you could remove the right of the firstborn and give it to the next in kind. That's what the Sephron answers this question on Yaakov Avinu, how he did. Right afterwards, we have an interesting parsha, the parsha of the rebellious child, that the Gemara says the rebellious child has to eat a certain amount of meat and has to drink a certain amount of wine, and the Gemara brings down about all the things that happens to a rebellious child. In other words, the parents have to take him and take him to the gates of the city. It says that Bayoim would have to say, Beneinu Zeh, our son, Soirer Moira, is rebellious, Moira, and his teacher saw the people to be rebelling. Veneshomei Abokaleinu, doesn't listen to a voice, Zoyla Vesoyver. And he is a glutton and he's a drunk. So by the way, the first question, and we have to do, we take him and we stone him, and we are Ramaki Becho. So the Gemara brings down that we're talking about a kid that's 13 and a half, age of 13 and a half, that's the only time that he could do it. After that, he becomes adult, doesn't become in control of his parents. So we talk about a kid that's past 13, from 13 to 13 and a half, bar mitzvah, right after bar mitzvah. And even though he didn't do anything bad yet, but the fact that he steals and he robs people to get food and drink, so we know that eventually he's going to stay in the roadside and he's going to murder people. So therefore, we kill him now. There's a couple different questions on this. First of all, we know that somebody murders somebody. The punishment is that he gets killed by a sword, sire. So how come we give him stoning? So the answer they give is that he's going to cause, not only he's going to murder some people, that he's going to cause his parents to be cursed, or curse his parents. And on cursing, the punishment is stoning. Okay, so that's understood. But the biggest question they ask is, wait a minute, we have a big problem. We know we read in the first day of Rosh Hashanah, we read the parsha of Ishmael. With the pastor Ishmael, where Ishmael was kicked out from Sarah. And there it's written, he was kicked out, and he didn't have what to eat, and he did the three capital sins even. He didn't have what to eat, so he was crying, and Hashem says that I listened to the word of the Nar, Basher Husham, the way he is there. That's what's written, that we listen to the child in Pashas Vayera. That's written with his child, Basher Husham, the way he was there. So the question is, the Gemara brings down, the marriage brings down, that all of a sudden, that's in page 96, Pashas Vayera, Pasuk number Yizayan. The Gemara brings down that the Malachim came to complain to Hashem, how can you save Ishmael? His children are going to destroy other people. So Hashem says that no. Hashem says that I'm sorry that he is now guilty on his sentence. I said now he's innocent, so therefore I will save him. So the question is that since we see that if he's innocent, we don't judge him for the future. So how come you judge him here for the future? That even though this child is technically now innocent of the crime that he's being judged, so how come now we judge him for the future and we kill him now because it's better he should die innocent, not die guilty? So one answer is that there is Ishmael's argument wasn't that he's going to sin. As a matter of fact, Ishmael does tshuva. The argument was that his future generation, his children are going to destroy. So therefore, if his future generation is going to destroy, therefore that was the argument on Ishmael. But here, this person himself, we predict in the future, we're saying that this person himself is going to commit all these crimes, so therefore, we kill him. Even though that seems to be taken out of the Bechira. The other interpretation is brought down by Maral. Maral brings down that there's a difference between Ishmael here. Ishmael was a Bezdin Shalmala. Bezdin Shalmala cannot judge what you do. But Bezdin Shalmata brings down Bezin Shamata's obligation, if he sees that since he's 13, he starts doing something bad, Bezin Shamata could judge now what's happening, and therefore he gets stolen. Another interpretation is that, you know what, that that the Kotzke Rebbe says the reason that we punish him here, but not by Kotzke Rebbe, is the reason we punish him here is not because of what he's going to do, is because he's soirer umoira. Soirer means he's rebellious, umoira, and he teaches other people to do bad. So that we don't punish him. The reason we kill him is because he's teaching other people to do bad. Like we learned before, that a mace is somebody who induces other people to sin. We don't even look for a schuz. The Gemara says that we don't look for a schuz, and we don't try to look for a reason why he did. We learned that also from the snake, that Adam says, that Hashem asked Adam, why you do it? So he says, the Chava made me do it. He asked Chava why he did it. So he says, because the snake made me do it, but the snake, nobody asked why he did it, because it's a Macy's. Macy's, we don't ask any questions. We just give the punishment without asking any questions. The same thing here, because he's a Moira, because he's teaching other people to do bad things, so therefore he's considered like a Macy's. So therefore, we don't ask him any questions, we just punish him and we tell him what to do. So the Gemara brings down Gemara is in Parshat Ben Sori Moira, which is Sanhedrin, Daf Ayin Aleph Omed Aleph, brings down that Ben Sori Moira never was and never will be El Drosh V'Kabel Schar. Says because Ben Sori Moira, to be a Ben Sori Moira, you require to have a lot of different technicalities, that men and women have to be the same voice. The Gemara brings down in Enu Shomer L'Koleini, he doesn't listen to our voice, that both have to speak the same voice. By the way, there are different interpretations. Both have to speak the same voice. Some say that both have to speak the same voice, that one cannot punish and the other one. In other words, the father can say it's okay and the mother say it's not okay. So the child doesn't know what to do. The only way the child could be punished for being rebellious is only when father and mother say the same thing. That's a simple interpretation. But Rav Yehuda takes it literally. Rav Yehuda says that father and mother have to speak in the same voice, in the same pitch of voice. In other words, they both have to sound the same. They both have to sound the same, which is the Shach brings down that automatically brings down that Ben Sori and Moira could never happen, because if a man and women have the same pitch of voice, obviously the woman is not a very healthy woman. Obviously she cannot have children, or if the man has a very thin voice, obviously he can't have any children. So therefore, automatically Ben Sori and Moira cannot happen. The only reason of Ben Sori and Moira is to draw the kabel schar. Is for you to darshan and to be able to through the darshaning that you should get schar. So the idea, the Kotzkeber brings down also, the idea from it is to say that even though you didn't do anything bad, but you are on the path, you're eventually going to do something bad, that you could do, you deserve punishment. So you do tshuva before you get to that position. Or maybe that's the way the Sahara works, that keeps moving you along every little bit off. The Gemara brings down, Rabbi Yonasan brings down that you can't say that it's not possible. That Rabbi Yonasan says, Aniro Isiv, I saw the Shaft Al Kivroi and I sat on his grave. How can you tell me there's not a thing as Ben Sori and Moira? Yes, I actually saw him, I sat on his grave. So they explain that it doesn't mean literally he sat on his grave. That you should know that if somebody acts like Ben Sori and Moira, true, we cannot win bad and cannot punish him, but Hashem has a way to punish him. So that's what Rabbi Yonasan means to say. Don't think that just because we actually cannot punish him. You should know that we could punish him and we will punish him. And Hashem has different ways to punish him. Hashem has different shaluchim. If a person deserves death, Hashem has his way to take care of it. So you don't have to worry of the idea of how to prescribe the crime. But you should know that there is such a thing as Ben Sori and Moira, and Hashem is the one who does the things. Gemara brings down somebody that's killer. Hashem makes him fall from a building. That the punishment to fall from a building, or he gets Hazushon falls on a plane, or different ways that get stoned. There are different ways to be stoned, not necessarily by us ourselves, but there are different ways. So Hashem's work should help that we shouldn't have any more Ben Sori and Moira. We should learn from our actions, and we should do tshuva, and we should be like Dor HaChaim, that we should learn from people around us how to behave and. According to the Baal Shem Tov, the only reason that we are in the Golas, and according to Rechaim also comes out, the only reason we are in Golas is for those sparks, to try to attract the sparks that were gone from the origin, and when all the sparks are collected back, that's when the redemption is going to come. So we have to learn that we have to be a light into the nations, we have to act in a proper way so the sparks will see us. In other words, the people, the Goyim, will see us, the other nations will see us, and they will want to be collected to the spark, because if they don't act the proper way, that nobody wants to get next to you. So Hashem should help that we should be able to gather all the sparks, the Mashiach will come, and we should be the redemption, maybe, amen or amen.